Morning will be around shortly, folks. And some of you folks going back into a waste, howling wilderness. Some of you folks going backwards just as dry as dust, man. You get in the car and you drive for 2 hours and hear nothing. Ain't that the truth? How many of you found that to be so? Let me see your hands. Yes, sir. You see, there's a famine in the land for hearing the Word of God. And they drive from coast to coast to find it. All right, Brother Peacock, come here.
I asked some of these guys down here if they had a Bible I could use, and they all kind of... I didn't understand that. I told Brother Kyle last night, Brother Ruckman was up here saying somebody lost Bible or whatever, and I said, oh, my sides. He looked at me and I said, I think I found that Bible. Brother Kyle looked at me like, you've lost your mind. I said, Brother, I'm just kidding. Honestly, that really wasn't his Bible. It's a great honor to be able to be here. I appreciate this. I realize it got a little rough yesterday. You know. Amen. Well, that's a little better than it was yesterday. You know, it's kind of funny. We talk about getting all the Catholics out and getting all the, you know, kicking all the whores and all the drink, all the dance halls and all that other kind of stuff. A little different when you get in your own backyard. Amen. And it gets even a little bit worse when you slide up into your own kitchen, right? And then it gets even worse when the oven gets turned on inside the kitchen. It gets kind of tough, and I appreciate the endurance. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Some of the girls and guys and the younger ones that I know have asked me to preach something about some blood and guts and some other stuff like that and tell some police stories and all that. And I would like to, but Lord's kind of going in a different direction this morning. You know, sometimes you get to thinking, God, is it you or is it me? God, is it you or is it me? And talked to Brother Kyle about that the other day, and we're both still going, God, is it you or is it me? You know, and probably or maybe tonight, we'll see how that thing goes. Some young people, y'all want to hear some of them kind of stories and stuff, we'll see. But not this morning. God's laid a special message on my heart, I believe, for somebody that's here. It may not hit all of you, but it should hit near about all of you. Lord willing. Exodus chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 10, come now, I'd like you to circle that word, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? There's one, that I, there's two, should go into Pharaoh, and that I, there's three, should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. God, we just ask your blessings upon this message, Lord, that you'll put your hands upon this wicked, ungodly, unworthy servant. Lord, that they might be able to see a miracle right before their eyes. Lord, that Jesus might be manifested in me. Lord, that they might be able to see, Father, that if he can do something with me, God knows that he can do something with them. Lord, I just ask that you'll help them to submit to the Word of God today, Father. Not that any man be lifted up, but Lord, that your Holy Word be lifted up here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Moses is right here, and three times in your King James Bible, the word I shows up. And this is something that I kind of started studying. When you begin to read the Word of God, and you read it a few times, and you read it a few more times, and then you read it after a few years, and you begin to scratch your head when you go over stuff like that, and you say, I never saw that before. Where did that come from? And I got to going over this particular passage when I was teaching this over at our church in Jacksonville, and I saw the three I's there, and I thought, isn't that strange? There's three capital I's there, and it's a real strange thing. But three in your Bible is a number for resurrection. And Moses has been on the backside of the desert now for nearly 40 years. And he has been out of the will of God, amen, for nearly 40 years. You see over in Exodus chapter 2, around verse 12, 13, 14 right there, Moses had gotten the call of God. He thought it was on him and it was his responsibility to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so Moses comes up one day and he sees this old Egyptian banging on a Hebrew right there, and he looks around real good to make sure nobody's looking, and he kills this Egyptian and he buries him in the sand. And then he steps forth, according to what Acts chapter 7 says, around verse number 25, he steps forth and he says, he thought that his brethren would understand that he was there to lead them out of the land. Moses' call that first time was in the flesh. If you'll notice verse 15 of chapter 2, Moses quit. He ran out. You know why Moses quit? It was when he was ready, not when God was ready. You see, we get caught up a lot of times and we say, oh, preacher, I've been called to preach. Preacher, I've been called to be a missionary. Preacher, I've been... And it's like Brother Utley said last night, he ain't ready for you, sonny boy. It's when you're not ready that he's ready. Moses is out there on the plains tending his sheep, you know, standing there with his staff in his hand. He's just minding his own business. He's kicking up the dirt and he's looking around, you know, and he's figuring, well, I can't go back over to Egypt. And God shows up in a burning bush and Moses says, who's that? Surely he ain't looking for me. I'm happy tending sheep. I done gone over here and married me up another woman and I'm doing good. Surely he ain't looking for me. I'm happy. I'm 80 years old, man. You know, he called me 40 years ago, amen, but he didn't, I was ready to go. He didn't want me, so I've been over here and I'm ready now. And I mean, I'm not ready now. I'm through. I made a mess of it, amen. What I want to teach you today, folks, is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Now, I want you to turn over there. A lot of people quoted this verse, but I want you to see this. The Bible says, right there in Exodus, it says, come now. Now. I wasn't ready for you then. I'm ready for you now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 28. I want you to get the picture here. The Lord appears to Moses in the burning bush. And I know how people teach this thing. Moses begins to doubt God and question God, and I'm not sure, and rebel against God. But what I want to submit to you today is Moses wasn't doing all those things. Moses had been humbled by the fact that he had been chosen 40 years before and was now on the backside of the desert, and he says, God, you can't use me. I'm an outlaw. God, you can't use me. I'm a murderer. God, you can't use me. I done married a black woman over on the backside of this desert, a Gentile woman, and Lord, I got one of them mixed up things over here, and nobody will listen to me, God, and you don't need to use me, God. I'm not worthy of God. God says, I come now. But God, you don't understand about all my life and all the problems. I mean, I was educated in the wrong school. I went to the school over in the world, Lord. I did all the things in the world, Lord. I took matters into my own hands, Lord. Bless God, I quit one time before, Lord. I didn't know no better, God. I just quit. I put it down, Lord. You can't use me. And the Lord says, come now. You're right where I want you now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 28, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Do you know why God called a God-forsaken, good-for-nothing police captain out of Jacksonville, Florida? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Week after week, my people see me step up in the pulpit and they say, my sides, how in the world will God use somebody like that? And yet I preach and they get a little blessing and people do get saved and hearts get turned around. And I'm up there thinking, my sides, God, ain't you something? My brother Utley says, ain't that just like Jesus? Listen, man, Brother Kyle was preaching last night about the ox in the crib. And then some of my folks just happened to come in about that time and they said, yeah, we know about the back end of that ox. Yeah, they're the ones that's been in their knees, up to their knees and that stuff, you know, and they've been, he's our ox, yeah. Oh, Lord God, he's our ox. We still are cleaning after him, but he's our ox. Watch him, here he comes again. Pop, 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 pop. Yeah, yeah. Yes, brother, could you move out of the way? Yeah. Brother, you talk about an ox making a mess. Oh, brother, I've made a mess. Woo, I have made a mess. Man, listen, you don't understand. I was called to be a policeman, have been a policeman for 20 years, and God said, come now. I said, God, you have lost your ever-loving mind. All the things I have ever done, all the things I've been through, all the things I've seen, God, I ain't even got no school or nothing, God. Nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody's going to hear me. Come now. Come now. God, I know what Moses is feeling. I know what Moses is feeling. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's you and me. That the excellency of the power may be of God, underline it, and not of us. Some people in independent fundamental Bible-believing churches around here believe that there's some kind of Levitical priesthood succession. And they take him a little boy that's about 7 or 8 years old and said, oh, he's been called to the ministry. And they try to put him in a little cage and they just take care of him, watch him, and we're going to send him to this school and we're going to send him to that school. And they get him all schooled up and everything, and he steps up in a pulpit and, you know, one of them little political deals has been made and he's up there now. And you'd get him to come to our church and we'd get him to come to your church, and you support that missionary and we'll support your missionary. And you know how all that goes, right? Amen? You'll find out, brother. Trust me, you'll find out. You know, we want you to preach just this right here. And now don't be preaching that right there. And he's standing up there and he gets ready to preach and he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. Oh, now he's studied, man. He knows the book, backwards, forwards, upside down, and sideways, but he's been taught that this really ain't the book. And so what happens is he gets in a pulpit and all of a sudden he gets a little shaky. He starts, boy. I don't know about this. I'm in front of a crowd of people. What am I supposed to say? So he gets his out a little hermeneutical, whatever that thing is, a sermon out there, you know. And he goes through his little point one, point two, point three, and I got all my little points, and everybody goes, well, that was real good. We enjoyed that. You're a preacher, boy. It's real nice to meet you. And everybody's going, man. You know why that is? Do you ever think about why that is? That boy's a mama called preacher. God ain't never called that boy. You know why? You know why God won't use somebody like that all the time? Now listen, if you're like that, glory to God, if you kept yourself pure and clean and holy, but not in this time period, it ain't happening that much no more. Now you might convince some of your mamas and daddies and stuff like that that you're pure and perfect and holy, but I know what you do in the back seat of that car. I know what you're doing slipping around the building and stuff like that. And what I'm telling you today is God will still use you, bud. He will use you. You know why? Because you'll step up here and give the glory to Him and not to you and being set aside like a Levitical priest. Amen? First thing I want you to see this morning is this. Moses did not see any problems at all with his first calling. I mean, he said, oh yeah, I'm chosen, I'm called, I'm supposed to lead them out. Bless God, I'll go lead them out and I'll just take the world on my shoulders. He runs out there, he knocks that Egyptian in the head, buries him in the sand. He says, let's go, guys. And the guys say, who are you, man? And if I follow you, he says, oh, well, I'm the pastor. You're supposed to follow me. You know, I've been chosen of God. And he said, well, shut your mouth and prove it. Just because you're the pastor don't mean we're going to follow you. 40 years later, God shows up on the scene. And the first thing that Moses did, I want you to notice, look at Galatians chapter 1. The first thing that Moses did was, God said, Moses, now I'm ready for you. And God says, well, now, Moses said, God, I need to jump down off this mountain just a minute. And I need to go check with my wife to make sure it's all right for me to be called to preach. And then he said, and God, after I get through talking to my wife, I need to talk to my mamaw and my papaw. And I need to call my preacher. And then after I get through calling all them, I'm going to call my mama and my daddy. And then I'm going to consult with one or two friends. And then after all of that, I'll let you know whether or not I can follow you or not. You know what happened when Paul got called? Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15, please. The Bible says, but when it pleased God. Whoa, 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 what? When it pleased God? Oh, wait a minute, bro, Dave, you mean I can be ready and I'm ready to go? Didn't you forget already what I told you? Moses was ready to go 40 years ahead of time, amen? He was ready to go, but God wasn't ready for him to go. It says when it pleased God, when it fits in God's timetable. Have you checked God's watch lately? There ain't no hands on it. He runs time on an eternal perspective. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, what? When it pleased God to call him, not when he figured he was ready to be called, when it pleased God to call him by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred with my wife. Is that what your Bible says? There won't be long before there'll be a translation that'll say that. You know, because there's a fellow that's teaching all that stuff right now that you got to go in and confer with all these people. And all. Listen, brother, when it comes to your call of God, you better not confer on nobody but God. Paul says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He conferred with God. Let me warn first of all, some of you preacher boys, one problem you're going to have. It's going to be a she-bear that's going to come up. And this is a she-bear, and it's getting real common in this day and age. And this particular woman is one of them kind that's tight over there when Elisha's walking along, and all them little preacher boys is a following after Elisha, and they get to laughing at his bald head and all that, you know. And the Bible says he calls up a she-bear. It was probably one of their wives. And he reached down there, and he gobbled up them boys and ate them up. You know why? She wanted control of the reins, even in the call of his life. You know, you ever heard of she-bear? A she-bear. You ever heard of she-bear? They scream like a charismatic woman. You ever heard that? It sounds. You remember that banshee I was reading to you about yesterday? You know what that is? That's a female devil. That's what a banshee is. And you know where it comes? Out of the pit of hell. All that, all that puke, man. You make me puke. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to outdo your husband because you want so bad for your husband to be in here, and you're so mad if there's a redneck from up there in North Carolina, and there's a big mouth, loud mouth policeman, and there's some old Texas farm boy standing up there preaching, and it ain't your husband. And the truth of the matter is, bless God, you're wicked and ungodly. It's all down in your heart, and it's eating you up that we're up here and he ain't. Well, I just think my husband ought to be up there. And bless God, what I'll do is I'll make a show so everybody sees me. I'm spiritual. Puke, you ain't spiritual. You're out of the pit of hell. That's a she-bear. If you're married to a woman like that, you better watch out. You know what'll happen? She'll recover your call. Whoop. God will call you and you'll go and say, just a minute, God. And you'll get about that low with God. And then you'll turn around here and you'll go, honey, 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 can I see you just a moment, honey, 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 listen, I believe God's called me to preach, honey, but listen, honey, would it be all right with you, honey, if we go to preach a meeting or two? You reckon that'd be okay? Just one moment, God, I'll be right with you. Paul said, immediately. You know why? Because he knew, as you go home and talk to that old she-bear, she's going to eat you up, bud. What's it say over there in the book of Matthew? Forsake not your what? Mama and your father. Huh? Oh, now wait a minute. Bless God. He forsook. Did not God forsake him? He ain't asking you to do nothing he didn't do. He come down there to the cross, and the Lord says, you want her? And he said, well, God, this is my calling. And he says, you want her? He said, God, this is my calling, you know, your will. And he says, if you're going to have her, I'll turn my back on you. Oh, yeah, you don't think God forsook him? Did he not? Does not God hate sin? Some of you people, bless God, listen to me. You don't understand yet the price that Jesus Christ paid for you. Jesus Christ allowed himself to become sin. What does God hate? He hates sin. And when Jesus Christ took sin on him, God said, I'm forsaking you, bud. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for not forsaking mama and daddy and mama and papa and the Bible? You know what else it lists? You know what else it lists? Whoever forsake not his own wife. Oh, you mean, Brother Dave, God had used some wicked, ungodly woman to step in between me and his call? You mean, Brother Dave, that he'll call me out and later on he'll make a mess of me? Yeah, so no flesh can glory in his presence. The devil can't get you no other way, so you know what he'll do? He'll live you, put you shacked up with some she-bear. And she'll devour you. That's John Wesley.
Yeah.
Oh, God wouldn't use my wife. Not my wife, but she's the most spiritual. You're a liar. And the reason you're so quiet right now is because you're going, get him, preacher. Yeah, amen, preacher. Oh, yeah, preacher. Yes, sir, preacher. Yeah, boy, hey, you know, and your wife's over there going, shut your mouth. Shut up. Don't you say nothing to him. I'm going to tell you what some of you people do. I'm going to tell you how some of you women run your husbands. Some of you women run your husbands and lead them around, not by the ear, but by the bed. Some of y'all need to just cross your legs and close the gates of hell, amen, so they can get something done for God is what you need to do. That's wicked! I'm sorry, I'm just quoting what Brother Billy Sunday said a long time ago. They could take it back then. What's wrong with you? You know what the problem is? You know that's true. And you'll submit to that stinking, wicked, ungodly flesh and be led around by that right there, and you'll miss the call of God on your life, bud! All because you wanted to, you know, the flesh warreth against the spirit. Amen? And God knows how to get a hold of men. Amen? Yeah, He does. He got your number, bud. He knows how to get you. And so what He'll say? He'll say, well, come here. Devil, get in that woman right there and that woman will say, now, I tell you what, if you go do, I tell you, we ain't gonna, and you gonna. Oh, and he's got a lot of liberty when he steps up in the pulpit, don't he? Whole time he's preaching, and in his mind he's going, is that okay, honey? How'd I do, honey? Is that all right, sweetheart? Am I doing good? Mighty good at pleasing the flesh. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure that you're ready to serve God? Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Boy, some of y'all, I thought y'all was used to rough preaching around here. Woo, yeah, Brother Dave, preach that rough stuff. I like it hard. Skin me, Brother Dave. Bless God, I'll tell you what. Like Brother Pete just said, if you could just get 8 or 10 good, strong men that ain't led around by that bed in your church, son, you could turn the city upside down.
The other day, I ain't led around by the bed. Well, you know, tell your wife to cross your legs.
All right, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Oh, you know that's the gates of hell. And you know it's led more of you people, more of you boys in here into trouble than anything else. Yeah. Oh, that's just the raw truth. I'd want the truth, brother, but could you doll it up a little bit, put it on a little cotton swab, Brother Dave, get us a palm leaf and blow us just a little bit and give us a grape or two at a time, you know, and just dab us a little, Brother Dave. Woo, let's let the sweet breath of God blow on us. Puke, you don't need a breath of God. You need a fist down your throat. I'm ready for the call, Brother Dave. I'm ready to go, Brother Dave. I'm ready. I want the call of God on my life, Brother Dave. Really? You sure you're ready to go through what Brother Kyle's been through? Huh? When within 2-3 weeks, he's going to be out of a building and... you sure you're ready to work 5, 6, 7 years before you can go full time? You sure you're ready for just near about everybody in your church to get up and walk out and leave? You sure you're ready for all that, are you? You sure you're ready to do what Brother Roberts is fixing to do? When you made a life out of killing gooks and all of a sudden God breaks your heart and He says, hey boy, you're going over there to save them people now. And you say, oh my sides, God. Oh, I'm ready for the call of God. You sure about that, bud? Are you sure you're ready? Well, let's just see if you are. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. Jesus Christ doing a calling here. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, bless God, Lord, wherever you lead me, I'm a going, God. Lord, wherever you lead me, I'm going to be there. Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Foxes have dens. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I might not have got every part of that right, but it's close. You get the intent. Jesus Christ says, hey boy, first order of business in your call. You ready to be poor? You ready to forsake all? You ready to forsake all? Here Jesus Christ was rich, right? Ruler, king of the universe, had everything. Amen? Yeah, and he forsook all. The Bible says he was rich, but he became what? He became poor. Apostle Paul, you know, all this charismatic garbage going on today, this prosperity stuff, taking stuff because they don't rightly divide the Bible and they're getting all them promises stuff to the charismatic and all, you know, healthy, wealthy, wise, that was really Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Apostle Paul dies without even a donkey to ride on. You look at the apostles, they all had up great wealth and riches, didn't they? You know what Paul does over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? He's teaching them about giving self, first of all, like I told you yesterday. And then the second thing, you know what he does? He starts talking to them about tithing. Oh, now, Brother Dave, now wait a minute. Wait. You know what? I don't even believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. Puke on that tithing stuff, man. Here's what you need to see. Paul says, Paul on epistle now, right? Paul on epistle. Amen, brother. We follow Paul, Brother Dave. Yes, sir. Amen. We follow Paul. We write and divide that Bible. Study, show thyself, prove, workman unto God, and needs not be ashamed. Write and divide the word of truth. Yeah, amen, Brother Dave. I believe that. That's good. Yeah, brother. Paul says, listen here, bud. He says, them Jews, you know, they had to live by the law. They had to keep the ordinances and the statutes and all that stuff. And because they did that, because they kept their flesh under subjection, I blessed them and gave them. And I'll ask for them, because of all they were already given to get what they got, I asked for them to give a tenth. And they inherit a literal, physical, earthly kingdom. But Paul says, you people are a little different. You inherit the kingdom of God, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. So therefore you are to set your affections on things above, not on things here below. And so what are we supposed to be doing? If we're supposed to give in accordance to what He has given us, then we ought to be giving a whole lot more than a stinking one tenth. Yeah, amen. Well, now wait a minute, Brother Dave. No, I'm just asking you to practice what you preach. Somebody got a Bible? Huh? We need to get the Spirit out? Listen, man, what does your Bible teach? Paul's trying to teach these people something. God gave you more in this time period, this dispensation, than anywhere else in all of eternity gets. And we're the tightest and the stingiest and the hardest with everything we got. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have a nest. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Look at the second thing about your calling that you need to see. Verse number 59, it says, and he said unto another, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Some of y'all still want to run back to that old man, that father, the devil. And the second thing that you do about your calling is you begin to say, well, you know, God, I've been divorced, and you're standing over that grave. God said, yeah, I buried it. See? It's dead. I buried it. Well, God, I've been a murderer. Well, yeah, but see, it's dead. It's laid in a grave right there. Can't you see it's dead right there? Well, God, I committed fornication. Nobody else knows about it but me. But God, I know in your sight I've been married and all. And God said, it's dead. Well, but see, God, I had an abortion. It's dead. God says, well, now, I want you to be a wife of a preacher. Well, God, I've been a whore. I've been a fornicating slut. He said, it's dead. Can't you see it's dead? And y'all going, let me go bury my father. Let me go bury my father. In other words, let me turn back around and look. Now, I'm going to get you a second point out of that in just a second, but let me just camp out just 1 second right here. You make the blood of Jesus Christ a mockery when you take yourself back to your old sin, back to your old way of life. Bless God, when you come to an old-fashioned altar and you say, God, forgive me, He says, forgive what? God, I'm really, truly sorry. Amen, brother. Get up, dust yourself off, and go head on. Well, God, they're going to talk about me. God, they're going to make fun of me. I know pounding makes what diamonds is made of, you know. They put gold in the fire, but you know what they do when they pull it out? They bang on it. You know why? The dross comes to the top, and you got to beat the dross off of it. He's just purifying you. you got to pay a little price. You know, like the brother said, you're going to reap what you sow, but you get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll be so much easier reaping. Whew, man, so much easier. Some of you want to go back to that dead man. I can't because. Isn't the truth of the matter, if God looked down in your wicked heart, you just keep using that for an excuse not to serve God? I can't because. Some of you, though, you want to run back and say, well, God, if you'll just first let me go back and check with Mom and Daddy and let Daddy die first. And then, God, I'll serve you. Let me tell you about that, okay? A little personal experience for you. Be a real blessing to you. When I first got called to be a pastor, not a preacher, but a pastor, he used to call my daddy all the time. Daddy, I got this problem. Daddy, I got that problem. Daddy, how you handle this? My daddy'd say, after 47 years of doing it, he ought to know a little bit, amen? Daddy said, afraid about it, boy? Well, yeah, Daddy, I have, but see, I just figured, you know, you could help me out, you know, and could you just give me an answer? He said, well, son, you need to just pray about that thing a little bit and give me a little advice and, you know, kind of watch me roast a little, you know. I mean, he would never just reap. Now, he wanted to help me out of the fire, but, you know, he just kind of, well, you'll get through this one, you know. I know what he'd done when I got off the telephone. He'd go in that closet and get on his knees and say, God, help him. I got to where I'd rely on my daddy for a lot of things. You know what happened? My daddy died. Less than a year ago. 64 years old, still preaching, people still getting saved, traveling all over the country, preaching, holding his guts in last time he preached. And he's in glory now. Guess what? He's teaching me. He said, that old man, he's ready to go, let him go. Now he's going to call on Sonny Boy. Well, God, You see, there's something about your daddy. You know he'll give you advice that won't hurt you. These other preachers, see, they'll cut your throat and watch you bleed. You got to watch them. They always want to help you, but they got some little ulterior, you know, motive. They kind of coming at you. But your daddy ain't like that. You know, you can just kind of let your guard down and trust him. Amen? Daddy's home now. Daddy's home now. Why? God teaching me, hey boy, you call on me. You understand in eternity, son. You don't understand now. God, my daddy ain't but 64 years old. God, he's still preaching. You think I got bitter? Oh, don't you think I didn't? You know, how all things work together for good to them love God, them called according to his purpose. You think you know that verse, sonny boy? It took a couple months before I finally got to an altar and said, God, thank you for taking my daddy. God's more real to me now than he's ever been in my life. You know why? He's my daddy. He says, listen, son, you'll get to see him in eternity, but listen, man, you don't understand, boy, I'm doing what's best for you. Now get up and dust yourself off, Joshua, and get that sword back in your hand and get back into battle. Wipe your tears off your face. Lick your chops and let's go! I can hear my old daddy in the background going, bow your neck, son. Bow your neck, boy. Whoa, glory to God, he knows what's going on. Sometimes I get a little silly. You know, I get to thinking about it. Somebody will come up and get saved or something. I know the angels is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth, you know, and they are hollering all up there. I can see old Papa Bear, old Ben. He'll go up there and say, good morning, Lord. The Lord said, morning, Ben. How are you this morning? I say, good, Lord, doing great. Boy, I tell you, I don't have no pain. I feel real good. You know, everything's going good. But I was noticing, you know, everybody's jumping around and everything up here, Lord. And I was just wondering, somebody get saved? Yeah, a sinner repented today. Lord, who was preaching? Oh, why? You know what? You know, I just got so busy with eternal things, Ben. I tell you what, you just got back the other day. I just want to tell you, that was your boy preaching. Woo! You know what? By the time I get to glory, my daddy'll just be coming back from Pluto. He'll just arrive, you know, and I'll say, oh, glory to God, Daddy! Boy, you've been gone so long, you'll say. It ain't been but about a second up here, son. We ain't got no time. He says, you know, I just heard you was a preaching down there and somebody got saved. And he said, glory to God, I'm glad God took me home to teach you to call on him. I've been trying to teach you that for years, but you didn't learn, so. Oh, it'll cost you. You sure? You ready to pay the price? My daddy's laying there dying on the deathbed. He sent everybody out of the room. He knew when he rolled in that hospital bed, He says, boy, I ain't going out. Oh, Daddy, you're going. He said, listen to me, boy. I'm going to stay on this side of the river. You go on back over yonder. I'll be waiting on you when you get here. I said, Daddy, well, what's going on here? He said, time for me to practice what I've been preaching 45 years. He says, I ain't much of a preacher if I can't practice what I preach. He said, I'm ready to go home. He said, now don't let me do nothing stupid or foolish and hurt nobody or ruin my testimony while I'm laid up here. 7 days later, he's home with the Lord. It was right there when he breathed his last breath. Boy, he was a sucking like a fish out of water for air. You better learn to call on God, bud. Look at the next part. Chapter number 61. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why is he saying that right there? Because what he is trying to do is cut all your ties to this flesh. Because the flesh will keep you from God. And he's saying, listen, bud, once you put your hands on the plow and you go to plowing like you used to plow over at Pawpaw's farm and you go to digging through that dirt, if you take your hands off of that plow and turn around and look, man, that plow comes up out of the ground. And all of a sudden you're plowing every which way. And you're in and you're out and you're up and you're down just like some of you. I'm called. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I don't believe I am. Yeah, I'm going over here to this bit. No, I don't believe I am. You got rabbit blood in you, son. You know what we used to do? This big old policeman back here, you know what we used to do? We'd get up next to somebody, you know, and we'd get him handcuffed, and I'll say, watch him now, he's a rabbit. He's got some rabbit blood in him. You know what that meant? It meant he was going to run first chance he got. Kind of like some of you. Oh, I believe, bless God, God put me here, he planted me here, then bless God, stay put till he moves you. You don't move when you get ready. You move when God gets ready for you to move. Well, I'm just ready to go right now. I'm just ready to go right now. Remember Lot's wife? A little bit over in Luke. Remember Lot's wife? Yeah, Brother Dave. She was white. She was black. She turned white. And that's what, you know. Oh, man, come on. Wait a minute now. I know all that stuff, but listen to me. What's the story in Lot's wife? She's so busy looking back at her material possessions and all the things of the flesh, she missed out on going up to escape from hell fire. You say, I'm ready to serve God. Oh, you are. You can't serve God, boy, until you learn how to serve somebody else. And he'll put you under some loud mouth, good for nothing, red-headed, snot-nosed punk like me, just to see if you'll get tough enough to sit there and take it. Yeah, you will. Oh, and now, Brother Dave, what about that old prodigal son over here? Let's have a preaching on that prodigal son. What did that prodigal son do? The father didn't do nothing wrong. But that father must have been doing something right. You know why? Because he ain't hardly mentioned through the whole thing. That's just how God does things. You don't hear nothing about the prodigal father's ministry. You don't hear nothing about the prodigal father's buildings. You don't hear nothing about the prodigal father's choir, none of that other kind of stuff. You don't hear nothing about the prodigal son. You see a guy that says, I want what's coming to me, and I'm going out into the world. You say, oh, well, hallelujah. Well, that's what some of you have done. Some of you have gone to your father and said, I want it all right now. And you know what you do? You go out and spend it now. And God's saying, I want it to wait a while. And that old prodigal, he's laying down in there and he's just a wallering around in that old mud and that muck and that mire. And he's down there in the pig pen and he's way down in there deep, you know, like this. And he's all covered up and he's looking over there and he hollers, Father! He don't hear nothing. He gets up, still standing in all that pig crap, you know, and he gets looking around. He says, well, maybe this ain't the best place for me to be. I believe I'll just push that barbed wire down and I'll straddle that fence. have Bob Wire fix and turn loose and catch him right where he needs to catch, right? That's where some of y'all wives have got y'all anyway. Anyway, he holds that Bob Wire down, amen? He's holding that Bob Wire down and he's going, Father! He says, well, I reckon I better get up and get out. He's looking at the pig pen. Turns around and he says, man, Daddy's got some servants up there. Ain't much here. I believe I'll turn around and go home. Turn around. Ain't nothing in there about the prodigal son looking back at the pig pen. But this time he don't say nothing. This time he just starts heading towards home. And guess what happens? The father jumps down off the porch and says, this is my porch! And he runs out there to meet him! You know what will happen sometimes? You'll be sitting out there and God will reach out there and he'll touch your heart and he'll say go and you'll just get to playing with that pig pen, get to playing with that pig pen, and finally you'll just turn and you'll step in that aisle and something will grab a hold of you and snatch you down here to this and you'll go, how in the world did I get here? The Father done picked you up, boy. He done picked you up. He done brought you right down here home. Now, I want you to see something right here that you need to understand in your calling. If you ever turn around and look back, Jesus says, boy, you look back, you're going to go back. You ain't fit. Because if you'll look back once, you ain't going to go back. You'll go back again. So, Brother Dave, I kind of doubt my calling. Well, you know, that's all right. You know, over in Matthew chapter 28, come back over to Exodus. I'll try to wind this thing down. Exodus chapter 3. The apostles are up there on the mountaintop and they've seen the resurrected Lord and all that stuff and he's getting ready to go. And the Bible says that after he says, you know, go ye into all the world and preach and teach and all that stuff. And the Bible says in the next verse right there, about verse 18 or 19, the Bible says, some of them doubted. These were apostles, man, that had seen Jesus Christ do all the miracles and now he's resurrected standing right before him. And he says, lo, I am with you always. Now, I'm about to wind this thing down, so would you just tie it in a knot or hold on for just a minute and don't let the devil use you to mess up something here. Don't get up and start zipping up your Bible and putting on your jacket and thinking about dinner time. You understand me? Moses is the same thing. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is saying, Lord, I go to Pharaoh. Lord, I should bring forth the children of Israel. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I kind of doubt what's going on here. In the next verse, he says, certainly I will be with thee. Now, I want you to see one last thing. Moses approaches God in the burning bush. And God says to Moses, son, take off your shoes. Because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. You know them Levitical priests? They'll tell you all about their garment, but you know what they was? Barefooted. You know why? They was on holy ground. Why were they on holy ground? God's house. Now stay with me. The bushes are burning over there, and Moses is looking at it, and God says, come here, boy. And he starts to walk towards it, and he gets to a certain point, and the Lord says, whoa, hey, son, far enough. Kick your shoes off. Moses says, my feet sure stink. You see, when you go to somebody's house that's a real true friend of yours, the first thing you do is you pull your shoes off, right? And your true friend don't care if your feet stink. And God says, Moses, I said, pull off your shoes. And you said, Moses says, Lord, these old nasty feet right here, Lord God, if you knew where they've been, Lord, if you knew what they've been through, God, they done killed a man. God, they done walked all through the desert. God, they done killed all kinds. through the world. And God says, I don't smell nothing, boy. Your feet don't stink to me, son. Take your shoes off, boy. You home now. You in my house. You say, preacher, what you trying to do? Kicking your shoes off up there and everything. Listen, bud, let me tell you something. If God will use old wicked, ungodly man like me, and he ignores the stink of where my feet have carried me, he'll use you if you'll let him. God is not, I'm waiting for God to humble me. Oh, you're a real man. You make me puke. God ain't going to humble you. God wants you to humble yourself. And if you won't humble yourself, young man or young woman, God ain't going to use you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. You do it. He can make you do it, but then it ain't love, is it? Bless God, how would you like to have a woman that loved you the way you love Jesus Christ? You know, just when it's convenient. You know, just cheats on you. You know, she gets you 2-3 days a year. But she's out with everybody else the rest of the time. How'd you like that? Humble yourself. And God said, now that's what I want right there. I'm all over you, boy. The secret to God's call, humble yourself. You gotta get down. You got to say, God, you mean you'll take me? He'll say, that's all. I'll take you. Well, God, I'm a whore. God, I'm good for nothing. God, I've been married a dozen times. God puked. God says, I don't care, man. My blood washes it all clean, man. I don't. Listen, you know what? I bet you. I just bet you to God. I know some of you people, your hearts are ticking right now. You know what will happen? I guarantee you, the Apostle Paul, the murderer of all that earlier church, which, by the way, was being used of God because God told him to go out into the world, and they decided to just stay in their clothes. And God said, come here, Paul, go out there and scatter them like I told them to go. But he killed all that church off, right? He denied the resurrected Lord. Who are you? The Lord says, what are you doing kicking against the pricks, boy? Who persecuting me, boy? Paul says, I bet he wouldn't pass your ordination committee, would he? No, he probably wouldn't have passed your ordination committee. You know, he's a murderer. How about Pete? Old Peter? No. Peter, God denier. God, I'll follow you. God, last time we was having a blowout, I give my heart to you. God, I'm going to submit to my husband no matter what comes. God, I'm going to do whatever he says to do. God, I'm going to do my... You God denier. You ain't denying the preacher. You ain't denying... You're denying God. I said, well, Brother David, what have I done if I've denied God? He took Peter back. He'll take you. He'll take you. But let me just ask you something. Do you just want to stay on the fringes of the beach right there and just watch, or do you want to get in the boat where the sailings are going on? Do you just want to watch them sail out across the sea and go, oh, glory to God. Go get him, Brother Roberts. Get him over in Vietnam. Amen, brother. Preach. Still get him. Yeah, that's good. Woo! Yeah, brother. Or you got enough guts to get in the boat? Now, let me warn you. Whoa. Let me warn you. I'm going to hold you to it. Before you go to nodding your head. Oh, yeah, amen. I'm going to get in the boat, brother. Yes, sir. Amen. Bless God, Brother Dave. I'm going to get in that boat. I'm coming out. I'm going to surrender to God. Hold on now, bud. Hold on. That storm's coming. That boat's going to go through some storms. You sure you're ready for that? Oh, Lord God, the boat's getting full. Bless God, Lord, you better get up. The Lord said, what's your problem, sonny boy? I told you before you got in, that loudmouth preacher told you there's going to be storms. What you worrying about the boat's filling up? It's got to get filled up so I can empty it out of all that crap that's in the hull down there and float all that out to the top and fill it up again. You got to come down here and empty your ship out. And instead of you being at the helm, driving it, because you know what will happen? If you're driving it, you'll see a storm coming and you'll go. And directly, you know what'll happen before you know it? You'll be looking at the old pig pen again. You do remember Lot's wife. When you turn to salt, bud, when you stop your walk with Christ, you stop your fellowship and he's done. He'll still pick you up. He'll still take you, but it's over. Your walk's over. He says, turn around. There's a storm coming. I'm in the storm. I am the storm. You want to get close to me? Get in the boat. Let's go to the storm. Now, some of you here today have been playing tiddlywinks with God and tiptoe through the tulips, and I'm going to get in and I'm going to get out, and I've been called and I've been to school and I've been this and I've been that, and you're still sitting on your blessed assurance. And you're one of them butters, you know. You have butt God, butt God. You know what you ought to do? You ought to carry your butt out there and get busy. Listen, man, the purpose of a local church is to get you ready to get out and do something else. Carry your butt out there and get to work. Well, I just don't think I can. Well, look at me. Who'd I ever thought? Oh, Brother Dave, you're spiritual puke, man. You know what? I'm about as sharp as a ball bearing. You know what God does, though? I'm willing to discipline myself to give Him my time. He blesses my discipline, ignores my ignorance, and allows me to help people because of discipline. I'm about as dumb as a box of rocks, boys. But you know what God will say? Listen, man, he's trying to testify to you right here. I'll use him. I'll take you, man. You've got more to offer than he does. And let me ask you a question. Dr. Ruckman, I'm going to ask you to come up here and do this. This ain't no, you need to get saved and all that other kind of stuff. If you need to get saved, you need to repent, you need to get saved. But here's what I want you to see. This is what God put on my heart, because I believe there's some woman in here that's supposed to be called to be a missionary. There's some man that's supposed to be a preacher. I don't know what the call is, and I don't know why God put that on my heart. As a matter of fact, originally I'd maybe planned on preaching it the last time, and God said, I want it right there. There had to be a reason, because there must be somebody right here. I don't know, maybe you're planning on leaving today or something. I don't know, but God's saying, give it over to me. Now listen, man, God ain't going to let you peek through to the other side and see the peace of the storm on the backside. He ain't going to let you see the shore like he lets you, like Paul. He's just going to let you see the storm. He's going to call you through the open door, but he's going to say, come on through, come on through. God, could you just show me what's on that other side? Uh-uh. I want to see if you got the faith to go through. Well, Brother Dave, I've been trained by the best. You have. You've been taught character. You've been taught Bible. You get more Bible whether you go to the school or not. You get more Bible just sitting in this church listening to Brother Donovan and Brother Ruckman and these other guys. You get more here than you get 99% of the places across the country. And God's saying, listen, 2 Timothy says, I teach you that you might go teach. I just believe I'll keep it to myself. Oh, you mean like the Jews did? Not to the Gentile, Lord. Just to me. What are you harboring all that stuff for? All that stuff's just to help you grow closer to Him. You're supposed to share that with other people. There's that word. Give it up, bud. Have you got the guts for it? Now, I honestly don't believe God lied to me. He does speak every now and then to me, and it's usually in a tornado. But he does about what it takes to get my attention. There's somebody here, I believe with all my heart, that God's calling to do something for him. Some of you boys, well, I'm only 7, 8 years old, Brother Dave. Well, bless God, get your butt down here and give it to him and then wait and see where he takes you. How about it, Dr. Ruckman?
Let's stand, everybody stand. Take your hymn if you would, and let's turn to page 384. Let's sing, I Can Hear My Savior Calling. I Can Hear My Savior Calling. Now, you heard a sermon here this morning on the call of the ministry, and he gave you Moses. You remember what I told you? Remember what I told you? The enabling, the calling is not the enabling. The calling is not the enabling. God can call you, and you may be enabled and all kinds of things happen, been through all kinds of things. But God doesn't renounce the calling. If you're called, you're called. But the calling is not the enabling. The enabling takes time. After the storm bound, he started this message about this little boy called a preacher. And right away, they began to slick him up as a preacher and make plans for him to take him through the stuff. Like, you know, that was he's ready to go right then. He isn't ready to go right then. That's the calling. The enabling takes time. All right, let's sing 384, Where He Leads Me. I can hear leads me, I'll follow. Before we see another stand, how many of you young men in this building or elderly men, you think you feel pretty sure? Now, I'm not going to ask you what field you may not know right now, and God may change your mind in the way. But how many of you believe that God has definitely called you to be a missionary in a foreign field? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, 22, 23, 24, 24, not 25. Begin to get in a place like this, you see, if you expose yourself to this kind of stuff day in and day out and day in and out, you get in a position where God can reach you. A fellow said, I haven't been called. A man said, maybe not within calling distance. But you give your attention to the Word of God and get your attention off that cotton-picking mess out there, and after a while, the lines get open. How many of you believe that God has called you definitely to be a full-time pastor or evangelist or a minister? Would you raise your hands? Don't take time to count them. There were 30 of them here. All right, now maybe you haven't answered the call yet. Maybe God's been dealing with you about it. Now, if you'd answer the call today, why don't you come down here and join these here at the front and just come down and say, Lord, if you call me, I'm available. So I don't know for sure whether I'm called or not, but I think I'm called, and I'm going to make sure. And if you put your hand to me, I want to have you know that if you do, I'm answering the call. Come while we sing. We'll sing the third stanza. I'll go with him through. Amen. Amen. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through. Where he leads me, I will follow.